Whoa, we're back? Holy crap!
I believe there's a hero in all of us.
You have great powers, only some of which you have as yet discovered.
I'm a superhero,
a real-life superhero.
The world needs extraordinary.
We will make you a superhero.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Initiating surprise in 3,
this,
2,
is
1.
The Real Brian Show.
Well, dang, it's been a while. Like a really long time. Is anyone still listening? Are you still there?
Hello? Are you still there? You know, but I can't even get stuck in this voice now.
You don't know what that's from, by the way. For those of you who are like, wait, what's that? That sounds so familiar. Points to you who remember. But I'm going to give you an update as to why we've been incommunicado for so long. And of course, we'll talk about what we're nerding out on because that's the whole point of the show. Provide you with positive variety, nerd out with you, and shoot the Let's rock it. Yes. Welcome. Welcome to The Real Brian Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm seriously hoping there's somebody there. I am The Real Brian. Captain, how are you now? Good and you, not so bad.
Brian, how are you now? Good and you, not so bad.
Not so bad. Not so bad. Yeah, good and you. Welcome,
wait,
Captain. Welcome back, Captain. What? Dude, it's been so long. Oh my gosh. You know what's funny? Is the last episode was January 5th, I think, right? January, something like that. It's been so long, I don't remember. 2024.
Yeah, this year at least.
We're still in 2024, okay? Because a little bit of time travel, you get kind of confused as to what year it is, but we're here. And here we are on April 12th. Man,
dude,
we're gonna explain that in a minute as to what's going on. But yeah, did you get that? Did you catch this?
Are you still there?
Do you remember what that's from?
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, good guess. That would have been a good one, but no. It's Portal. Do you remember Portal when the turrets are firing at you and then you hide and then they literally like they start going like,
hello, are you still there?
That's actually so a good impression of them, yes.
Yeah.
Portal 1 and 2, by the way.
Yeah. Portal 2 was great because of the co-op option, and oh my gosh, so much fun. That's an old... I wish they would do stuff like that again. More puzzles and creativity and all that. Yeah, dude. Hmm. They do that in Escape Simulator. That's a fun game.
Yeah, you and Johnny Pistol Shot were playing that a bit, right?
Yeah.
I didn't join you with that yet, but...
You know what I love about it is that they've got their... game created escape rooms that you can go through and do, and most of them are pretty easy, but then they've got all of these user created ones which are amazing, and some of them are ridiculously hard, some are not, and some are, you know, well, they need a little bit of work, and other ones are really good. So it's kind of fun to see all the creativity that goes into it. I gotta love it, man. Dude. Hold on, you know, this is a special day because it's April 12th, and
y'all know what day it is.
Oh yeah, come on.
Thank God it's
I haven't even listened to this song since January.
Friday.
Friday. Come on.
Thank God it's...
You know, for those of you who have been missing the show, missing that whole thank God it's Friday thing, you know, are you okay?
Are you there? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm a little worried right now, like if maybe you needed some counseling or something because you haven't had this to end your week right. You know, here's my theory, Captain. The week has not ended right for any of us since January or December, probably December.
I've had a lot of weeks end right for me, actually. So,
oh, well, you just totally busted my theory, man. Thanks a lot.
Well, isn't that the point of theories, right? You got to try and bust them. Sorry.
Well, forget it. I guess
let's pretend I never said that. Keep going.
Here's what I will tell you, that I am drinking this phenomenal drink right now from one of our local coffee shops, and they do this once in a while. And I love this because I wasn't actually planning on having any kind of a cool drink, and I've got two drinks. One is...
But you're double fisting these
suckers?
Dude,
I'm double fisting, except one at a time because one's cold, one's hot, and it's just not a good thing to drink at the same time. So this one has espresso in grapefruit tonic water, with grapefruit bitters and a piece of grapefruit in it. And I've talked about that before. It's the espresso tonic. Well, you could do it with orange or other, you know.
Coffee and grapefruit?
It's fascinating. It's really, really good.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, hey, who knew that that Jägermeister and Red Bull would go together really well, but they do. Just saying.
It's amazing how this works because the acidity from the grapefruit and the coffee is paired very nicely. I love this. Awesome. I actually tried making one of my own. I don't have bitters. That's the problem. Getting bitters is hard to get a hold of unless you get like this little tiny thing for like $50 or something stupid like that. So I was like, is there a way to get, I'm looking, I got to find it.
You know, what's ridiculous, Brian, is I just learned what bitters were like within a few months ago.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know until about a year ago.
You have to put them in what's called an old fashioned, which is like bitters and whiskey or something like that. But I was like, what's bitters?
And I don't even know how they're made.
I still don't exactly know what it is, but I'm surprised it's hard to get.
Yeah, I was surprised too. Now, granted, this was a year ago, so maybe things are different today. But yeah, we went looking around and people were like, yeah, we don't have any. Really? I'm like, not even the liquor stores had any. So we had to kind of look around and we're like, okay, well, you can get some on. Yeah, you can go to Amazon and get them, but I don't know what, I don't know. I need to look them up. But apparently it adds that truly bitter taste, but it gives it that flavor that you need to get the right, I don't know, the right blend, but it's really good. And if you don't like espresso, it doesn't matter. It's a cool drink. But here's the other thing is lychee with, I don't know what kind of tea. I think it's like some black tea with lychee in it. And
lychee. There's another one. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. And I can't, and it has this very distinct smell to it. It's almost like a bergamot in the sense of Earl Grey or something.
Interesting.
Okay. But I think it's better. I don't know. It's really interesting. Yeah. It was one of those samples we got from our local tea shop. We were just there and they're like, hey, try this stuff out. I'm like, all right, I'll try it. And I was like, oh, this is good. So now I might have to go back and actually get a whole, you know, serving of it. Here
that's
you go, man.
Brilliant.
You know,
it's brilliant.
It's wrong. It's fantastic. Actually, I've been watching a lot of YouTube food/drink channels that just kind of say, it's like some of them are former chefs and stuff who've just said, hey, you know, mm-hmm. we're just going to experiment with all these random meals and drinks and all. It's been really fun. And some of those, I'm like, oh my gosh, those look so good. And I've tried some of them and they are really good. And some of them are like, yeah, that's not very good. But hey, at least
that's
tried.
How it works, right? I mean,
that's right. Yeah. I've got somebody I want to try. But dude, what's going on with you, man?
Dude, I've talked to you guys about my new exercise. Well, have I been on since I started my like newest exercise regimen? Well, so what I've been doing, and forgive me if you've all heard this before, but I think I might have mentioned it last time I was out there, but when it comes to exercise regimens, I always peter out eventually. And a lot of people can relate to that. You go in with good intentions. You start out really strong. You work out consistently week after week. And then you start finding excuses not to this day or that day. And then it just kind of peters out. And the next thing you know, you're just not exercising anymore. That's happened to me dozens of times in my life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
me too.
What I thought was, well, what if I just exercise for like 5 minutes every hour, not every hour, but you know, like at the top of the hour, like for 5 hours in the morning and then maybe a couple hours in the afternoon, if I'm able to, but at least the five, like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, mm-hmm. and then I have lunch and then I rest for a couple hours. Anyway, so what I do at the top of each hour, starting at 8 o'clock is I run up and down my 11 stairs 10 times, heart rate up. Then I'll do, I'm up to 18 pushups and then 30 sit-ups, crunches, 30 crunches. So I do that once an hour. You know, I don't get it gets my heart rate up once an hour, but it doesn't, you know, I don't sweat or anything like that. I've been doing that consistently for many months now, and it's been working really well.
You're seeing results?
Yes, I'm seeing results. Wow, okay. And of course, you know, the classes, I do take Pilates twice a week and then I have a strength class that I go to on Thursdays, but I don't lift and I don't, you know, I don't go to the gym every day or anything like that. I just do that bit of exercise several times a day. I'm looking a lot better now. I mean,
nice,
I'm in some of the best shape of my life and I'm almost 50. So it's
you're
been
saying
working really well.
5 minutes at the top of most hours of the day.
Between 5 and 7 hours a day.
No, that's
so like the first
amount.
5 hours starting it. So every morning for sure. And then sometimes like at 2 and 3 o'clock or maybe 3 and 4 o'clock. In the afternoon. And the reason it's been working is because it doesn't feel like as much of a chore, mm-hmm. you know, cause to a lot of us, exercise feels like work. It's
does.
A chore. It's something you feel like you have to do to stay healthy.
You gotta commit to it for an hour.
Out. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I have to work out just, you know, and your inner voice is like, just do it. And like, but when it's just that little bit once an hour for several hours a day, it doesn't feel like a chore. It's just this little thing you do, like going to the restroom, mm-hmm. except you're exercising for a bit. and it adds up. So like today, for example, I only did just the morning. I only had time to do just 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. In those five sessions, I ran up and down 550 stairs. I did 80 push-ups and 150 sit-ups.
In 5 minutes?
No, just accumulate all total. Together.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you did five minutes at a time though.
And it's really helped with my motivation.
Mental stamina.
It hasn't. In other words, I have not gotten to a point yet where I'm starting to slack off, where I don't do it once, on a given day. I literally have been exercising every single day because of this regimen.
Cool. I love it.
For many months now. So it's not like when your typical exercise regimen, they say, work out however long per day, 3 to 4 times a week or 3 to 5 times a week, something like that. Well, I just do it a little bit every hour, 5 to 7 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week.
That's so interesting. There's got to be something said about this too, because you don't hear about this kind of thing, but Tim Ferriss experimented with these little, did he call them interval trainings? I can't remember what he called them, but there was like these little tiny things where you'd go to the gym for, I think, 15 minutes, and you would work out really, really, really hard for 15 minutes. And then you would take 3 days off because there was something to do with how the muscles needed to recover.
15 minutes.
Yeah. It was very short, but it was more of the heavier the weight, the shorter amount that you would work out and the longer in between that you would work out because of the more need for the muscle to recover and stuff. So it might start out at like 30 minutes, lighter weights, and then you kind of move yourself up. And it was an interesting concept.
You know, what I'm really hoping, I tell everybody about this because I'm hoping that it will encourage some people who really just don't want to start exercising because it's just a pain in their butt to do this. Because if you can keep doing it, and again, it's so easy to do, it's not a chore. If you take the chore out of working out, if you do it this way, if you do it like this, after several months, you're going to see results. Just because the main thing is that you're getting your heart rate up once an hour, several times a day. And that's huge for metabolism.
Yeah.
So I do know that for a fact, just the heart rate increase for just 5 minutes, that pays dividends for quite a while after you do it. And if you do it once an hour, then you're just it's like you're refreshing that payoff basically.
Yeah. So, I'm sure someone's talked about it, but believe me, I have never heard it before. And I've looked around and I've followed a lot of these people and no one has ever talked about anything like this. And so at least the people that I've checked into, which is a lot, but it doesn't mean that it hasn't been said. I love it because I'm like a greyhound, man. I'm a sprinter. You know, I hate long distance and long-term workouts. The only thing that I like doing for up to an hour is Pilates. That's the only thing. But I see the results at Pilates because in that hour, I'm pushing myself really, really, really hard. In fact, I'm doing ab exercises now that I'm like, geez, these are so hard and they're so advanced and it's amazing, right? But it took time, but for cardio, that's where I'm struggling because unless I'm out biking outside, which I love, and even then, I don't like to bike for more than about 20, 30 minutes at a time either.
And you can't do that all year round.
It's been a killer this year we've had a lot of, we've had a lot of very, very cold months and really cold overnights. This has been one of the coldest, the longest coldest that I remember. We just started biking last week. And I remember in years past, we've been biking as early as March in Colorado and even as late as December. But this year it was like early November that we stopped and early April that we started. And that's a really long time to not really be doing a whole lot of cardio. And or it was so cold, you couldn't get outside and walk either. So it was just like, this is really hard. And I got to figure this out. I did try the stair thing, but with my heart and the heart condition that I have, it didn't like that. So I got to figure out something else that I can do that's cardio that would be indoors, 5 minutes an hour, because I love that.
Jumping jacks is perfect. Yeah,
that screws my heart up too.
Yeah, so I don't know what cardio you can do with your heart condition.
Well, biking and walking, but I can't get my heart rate up walking, so I need to bike, and I don't have an indoor bike, so it's what it is.
You can get your heart rate up if you speed walk, but you'll look funny.
Well, yeah. Why is there a carpet all worn there?
But one thing I do want to caution anybody who's considering doing something similar to what I'm doing, when you run up and down stairs, hang on to the rails. If you don't have rails, don't use those stairs.
Yeah, true.
It's imperative because you can and will trip. And if you don't have something to hang on to, you could die.
So, yeah.
I mean, I have every single time I run up and down my stairs, I'm very, very careful because I think my wife's at work on the weekend and I start, if I trip and fall on the stairs, into my basement while she's gone, she could come home and at the end of the day and find me dead or paralyzed.
Oh yeah. So, horrible, dude.
So I'm super careful when I'm running down the stairs. I don't run, by the way. I go down the stairs in a much more controlled fashion, but when I go up the stairs, I push myself.
Well, and even if you're doing a fast, like a speed walk, like you were talking about, you're going up really quick and back down really quickly, you know, that's going to eventually wear you out unless you're really young and in perfect shape. But
yeah, let's just say that my legs and my glutes are very awesome right now.
Buns of steel, man.
And my calves. Yeah. So, I mean, my point is it's easy. It's an easy exercise regimen to start if you don't like to exercise. And it's working really well for me. And so I would encourage that approach because it's not an approach you hear bandied about very much with exercise. So
yeah, I understand. Hey, talking about your buns of steel, you know, it's like, yeah. I mean, so I was going to tell you, this is how you're not so bad. Good on you. It's been this is what I love about this time of year, though, is that it's finally starting to warm up. It's finally starting to get nice. We're finally getting on biking. This year I was noticing was probably the worst for seasonal effectiveness that I've had in a long time. Cause you know, there's always a little bit of it during winter. Cause I like to get out. I don't like cold winters where you're just kind of trapped inside and it's dark, you know, and you only have so many hours of daylight. I just never liked that.
Yeah. Don't go to Antarctica.
No, so. I know. And, or Alaska for that matter.
Or Alaska. But it's,
you know, that's why we've done basketball and volleyball and stuff over the years. But this year, for some reason, it was really bad. And part of it had to do with the fact that there was just a lot going on and there was a lot of challenge. There was a lot of trauma. There were a lot of deaths, unfortunately, for us. Some really horrifying kind of things actually that happened that I won't share here on the show just because, I mean, when I say horrifying, I mean like very horrifying. And so like just a lot
on the news horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just say murder was involved and other bad things and not by us, but people we've known.
I mean, are you transmitting from a prison right now? Right?
Exactly. So
how's your roommate?
Like Folsom Prison Blues. Would it be like the Folsom Prison podcast, you know, or something like that? Thanks, Johnny Cash. No, it was a very interesting, Tiny over there is looking at me weird right now, but, it was a very interesting year. I'm going to say year because all of last year, all of 2023, and it went through February, kind of into March of this year. And that's a lot of the reason why this show did not happen. Part of it was, you know, you were busy and we just couldn't pull things together, couldn't pull other guests together. And I was just in a place where I was like, I can't deal with anything beyond the immediacy right now and the urgency. And that's all it was just, we had to basically survive for a while.
To be fair to you, Brian, I was, you know, retired essentially.
Yeah, true.
The show and
you essentially, yeah.
but hey, we kind of talked about this and we were thinking maybe we could start committing to once a month, something like that. To start the show back up again.
That'd be amazing.
That'll give us quite a bit of time, less pressure to think of things to talk about on a weekly basis like we were for many years.
Yeah.
And also give the listeners a little more regularity starting up again, even if it's only once every 4 weeks.
Yeah, we're like fiber now.
Fiber's good for you.
We're going to give regularity. Makes you regular. So, no, I agree with you because I can't. Why are you talking about? Let's see. Was this about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that? That I came to you and I was just like, dude, I really miss doing the show. Like, I really, really finally miss it.
Yeah.
This is very interesting. And actually, I want to talk about something here that was kind of cool that I just kind of learned about. I think explains a lot of the reason why 2023 saw 18 out of 52 episodes and why this year, this is the second episode only. Mm-hmm. I now know why. We'll commit to once a month right now for the sake of, you know we can do that much and then we'll see. Maybe we'll do more and we'll go from there. About a week ago, I was meeting with this business advisor and we were just kind of chatting about some stuff. And she brought up this thing that I've heard this before, but I've never really understood it. And I've always been like, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. That's corporate business kind of thing. But the whole like, you need to come up with your core values and your core focus, right? I'm sure you've probably heard that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And usually nobody.
It's blessedly been a while.
Well, I know. And the thing is usually it's just usually BS.
It is and it isn't. There's a lot of solid theory behind it, but go ahead.
Well, and that's the thing. If it's done right, then yeah, it's very solid, but I don't think it's ever really been done right. And I've certainly never done it right. And so anyway, she starts explaining the whole thing about core values. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know all my values, whatever. I know my core values. And it's so funny when I bring it up to other people, they say the same thing. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the value that they bring up is actually not a core value. It has nothing to do with it. And so I feel like, oh, that's okay. That's been me too. But then she said, your core values essentially are creating boundaries on who you work with, who you hang out with, what you get involved with, even if it's a volunteer activity, if you go to a church or if you're a part of a group in general, anything that you do, period, it's putting boundaries around whether or not you should get involved with this or even this friendship or relationship. And I thought, wait, really? Like, I've never heard that before. So I thought, okay, I'll go through this. Anyway, so I went through this article that she had written. And so she's explaining, she said, basically here are like hundreds of words and you can add words if you want, but basically go through here and pick out your top 10 and then try to narrow them down into the top 7 words and then go from there. And basically filter everything that you do, every relationship, everything that you do, everyone you work with through these kind of things. And I thought, okay. And of course, everyone's going to be different, right? So
of course
I went through less, and And I mean, it was hard. And I had those that I'm like, I'm reading through and some of these, I'm like, yeah, this is a good word. And, or it's a word that I need, I'm trying to work towards, like balance. Balance is one that I'm not perfect at, but it's one I'm striving for. But then there are the words where it's like, dude, that's totally me. And so I wrote down those, and the 7 I came up with were community. Community is so important to me. I mean, you know me.
Such a good show.
That too. And, but I mean, you know, it's like I game with people and I game co-op. Like, it's all about the community. It's all about friendships and stuff. Curiosity. Very much so, yeah. Obviously, curiosity is a huge one for me. Otherwise, we wouldn't be nerding out on stuff. Freedom, dude. Freedom's a huge one. I don't like to be boxed in or told what to do or micromanaged. I've never liked that. America. I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, America. Fun. Of course, that's the number one for me. Respect, obviously, we talked about that. Variety I put in there. And then the other one was like, this is kind of a combination of commitment, consistency. It's a priority or a desire to be there. So even in a friendship, I don't expect the person to hang out with me 24/7, but it's like, is my friendship to them a priority? Do you desire to have that friendship? Are you committed and consistent with that friendship? Or anything for that matter, you know? So I wrote all those down and I was just like, oh my gosh, this makes so much more sense, you know? And then all of a sudden I went, well, every one of those things is The Real Brian Show, but I've been involved in so many other situations over the last, I mean, I don't even know how many years now, where most of those are not even met. I've been in friendships and groups and volunteer situations where most of those things are not even met. What I was told was that when you're not surrounding yourself with basically those types of scenarios to the best of your ability, that's what causes burnout. I was like, really?
Okay.
And I'm like, well, obviously burnout's been a big problem for the past year and a half, you know, more than that actually, but yeah. And then the other thing was video. I was talking to someone else and they said, you know, if you're doing video for your show, and it's not something that you naturally love, you're going to burn out. And I thought, oh my gosh, there was another reason why we had 18 episodes last year. So it was just one of those, like, here we are a year and a half later going, I figured it out. That's why the show kind of faltered. It's not because the show was done. It's not because I was done with it. It was just the burnout and then doing video. So going back to just doing audio, and now I'm really taking a very close look at, you know, are my friendships and volunteer activities and groups that I'm in, and even the clients that I work with, you know, do they fit into these words enough, I guess would be the word. Cause no one's going to be perfect and everybody's different. But, and I found that in most situations that I'm involved in, this is not being met.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. Okay. So now I'm like, okay, well now what do I do? And so that's kind of the next step. But I thought that was so interesting to share because they'll tell you, find your core values. And that even defines the kind of relationship you should be in.
I've heard it said that in a business setting that it's important for an employer to hire people based on their core values. And if somebody they're hiring does not fit within those core values through no fault of their own, that they probably should not work for you. I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And the cool part about the core values thing is that because everybody is different, none of them are right or wrong. It's just what's important to you and your personality and who you are and who you were made to be and that kind of thing.
Right.
So you're right. If it doesn't fit, then it just doesn't fit. And that's okay. And you shouldn't force that because that's going to cause so much frustration. I just thought that was really cool, dude. I'll share it with you too, because it's cool. It's interesting. You know, like I was thinking about like our friendship and even the game night guys and stuff like that. Like most of that fits in really well. And so I've had no issues with that. But there have been some other things that I've been involved with that I'm like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be involved with this right now, because that's why I'm feeling drained or frustrated or like I don't want to go or whatever the case may be. And I just like your
board meetings, right?
Yeah.
That's the best example I can think of in your life is your HOA board.
And the thing is that the people that were on that board all fit, but the activity did not. Mm. Like I loved the people I worked with. Doing HOA stuff was just not me at all.
Okay.
Like
some people love it, man.
I mean, that's people that run for city council. It's the same kind of thing. Like they love it. It's who they are. And so it's just not my thing. So yeah, it's fascinating, dude. I'm starting to really, really evaluate a lot of things here. And I look at this too as like, you know, if I'm trying to be a friend with somebody and they're always too busy and they're not putting a priority on our friendship and yet I'm putting a priority on theirs, but they're not, you know, reciprocating. It's like, is there really a friendship there? Is it worth pursuing? You know, there's so many things like that. Anyway, I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah.
Dude, we've been watching a bunch of stuff and there's no way we're going to cover it all, but I know you've been like crazy on a couple of things. You know, how are you? Not so bad. Good and you. So tell me about that. And then I got a couple things I'm going to share, and yeah, we got all kinds of stuff. What are we watching?
Yeah, I'll be pretty brief. So in the since I've been on last 4 months, I watched the show Letterkenny. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's called Letterkenny. It's one word. It's a town and it's a fake town, I think, in Ontario, Canada. I had so much fun, and the show's not for everybody. It's I can't even describe to the average listener really what it's about. It's
yeah,
I mean, anything I say wouldn't quite get there, but I had so much fun watching it that at the end of the 12th season, and all the seasons are 6 episodes, so they're very short seasons and like a half hour per episode. So it's a very bingeable show as far as shows go and binging goes. As soon as I got done with the last season, I just started watching it from season one all over again. I did the exact same thing with Community. So then there's a spinoff of the show called Shorzy, which it's about one of the side characters in Letterkenny.
Yep.
And I loved that. And it's only 2 seasons so far. Also 6 episodes each. Very quick to watch. I watched that twice in a row as well. So I just really like Letterkenny and Shorzy a lot. And it resonated with me. Then Dune 2 came out, right? God, remember when Dune 1 came out and we were all like, we have to wait until 2023 to see the next movie?
No, I remember you saying like, okay, it'll come out next year. And I said, nah, probably not. Knowing them, it'll be at least 2 years. And you're like, 2 years? You know?
Yeah, and then that was confirmed. And I was like, I have to wait 2 years?
Yeah.
And then before I knew it, it was 2024. And the second part was coming out. So that's just age for you. But I saw it with my movie buddy, my mother-in-law. And then like 2 weeks later, I saw my nephews wanted to see it. So I took them.
Nice.
So I've seen it twice. And it was quite good. You saw it. Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I feel like they did a really nice job with it overall. I mean, I know that some people had some complaints about certain parts of it. I get it. I understand. Always. And, you know, like we were kind of talking about Chani and her lack of faith essentially was definitely not in the books, and it's kind of a new woke thing that they want to throw in there, which just pisses me off, but whatever.
Well, they were so subtle about the wokeism in Dune 2.
Oh, I was
okay with it.
Why did they have to change it? There was just no reason. Just do it the way the book was written. It's fine.
yeah. Like in the book, the Fremen are very monolithic. They don't have factions per se, at least not that I recall. And I've read the books like 4 times, but yeah, they inserted this interesting social split with the Fremen. There were these fanatics that were from the south part of the planet, and then there were the more modern, younger Fremen that were in the north part of the planet.
Yeah.
And they had an ideological rift between them, and it did feel a little out of place in the movie. So yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, and it felt like the ideological ones were crazy and like just kind of over the top. And then the more quote younger ones were more logical and, you know, cool headed. And I thought, yeah, okay. Like I know what they're trying to do. Yeah. And it worked, but they tried to do it in a way that's like, hey, look, this is a reflection of today in modern society. I'm like, dude, this is a science fiction. Let's just take modern reality out of the entire story. And let's just enjoy science fiction.
And they didn't really resolve that issue either.
No, I know.
It was a small, but important part of the movie. At least they made it important. but then it never got readdressed later on.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
I love it when they just let us have our escape and they didn't. So that was the one thing I didn't like about it. Otherwise, I love the movie.
Yeah. And the second movie finishes up the first novel, which is just Dune.
Yep.
The third movie is going to be Dune Messiah, which is the second book. It's a much shorter book than the first one.
It'll be very interesting.
So they can easily fit it in one movie.
Hopefully they're already starting on it and not waiting 4 more years to figure it out. So we'll see.
Well, and who knows if there's another strike in between that. I mean, that this one was delayed a bit by the writer's strike.
Sure. That makes sense.
So
the new Ghostbusters movie is out. I do want to go see that. I did enjoy the 2021 again, you know, the new 2021 Ghostbusters. And so it'll be fun. We'll see.
I did too.
So a couple shows I was going to bring up too. I never checked out Reacher when it first came out. I saw the Jack Reacher movies with Tom Cruise and they were fine.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't like, I thought they were okay. They had good moments, but otherwise they weren't my favorite. So I totally just like, I'll just hold off on the TV show because the movies were okay to me. But then I was like, no, it's really good. And although I think my mom watched it, she's like, oh, it's awful. This is so funny. But you know, not her style. So I was like, I'll check it out. And I was like, whoa, I was immediately hooked. I loved it. First season was phenomenal. I'm just starting second season now. You know, okay. I liked it. And then Tracker, that's another one. And you know what I love about Tracker? So this is Justin Hartley. And for those of you who watched Smallville, he was the first TV Green Arrow of the modern era in Smallville. And I was like, oh, Justin, I love Justin.
Gosh, you know? I forgot.
Justin Hartley, he's producing it and he's acting and he's a main character and everything. But I was like, I think my dad was like, check the show out. And so we were visiting them. And so we watched it with them. And I was like, this is really good. I like this. Cool concept. He is literally a tracker. He gets essentially paid to find people, not a private investigator. It's more of the tracker kind of thing. But you know what I love about it? It is not heavy. It is not full of just nonstop profanity, which some people don't care about that. But after a while, I get tired of it. And in fact, one of the characters in Reacher said, what did he call it? Like, cursing is a sign of weak character and weak mind. And I was like, you know, he's got a point there, because if we resort to that, then we're not using other words to express ourselves adequately, you know? Well, whatever. I don't care. People can do whatever they want. No judgment at all, but it's just like, I get tired of hearing it constantly. And so I appreciated Tracker that it's not that. It's an all around fun, positive, enjoyable show, I guess. So it's fun. It's definitely worth watching if you're into that kind of stuff. And then the new Avatar, The Last Airbender live action show. I'm kind of working my way through it slowly, but I don't know, dude. The original anime, cartoon, whatever you want to call it. I know there's like a specific term for it or whatever, but that was good. I mean, it was charming. The characters were written well. You could tell that the voice actors definitely had some kind of chemistry going on. It was just well done. I'm not even through all of that yet. I got through seasons 1 and 2. And this one, you just don't feel that same chemistry or charm, or some of the characters aren't written as well. Some of the actors, I think, actually aren't that good in comparison. That's my opinion. You know, it's a typical Rey Skywalker problem where Katara in the anime, you know, she's got her, it takes her a while to learn waterbending, you know, which is natural, right? It takes a while to learn certain things. And in the show, you know, Aang says one thing and she's like, oh, and she just instantly masters it. And I'm like, oh, like Rey Skywalker in Star Wars. Here we go.
Right.
So I was like, this is so dumb. And then,
or the She-Hulk, right? Didn't She-Hulk have a little bit of
that? That was awful. Yeah. That was one of the worst shows ever. Oh my gosh. So
sorry to remind you,
I'm enjoying The Last Airbender live action. I'm enjoying it. It's just, it's not as good. And part of the problem too, and this is what I wish they would change, is it's a recreation of the cartoon. And it's like, why don't they do something different? Why don't they do, you know, I don't know, maybe one of the other avatars or something, you know, just something different. Or if they're going to do a recreation, then don't try to be exactly the same, but just different enough that it just upsets the fans. And I don't know. It just didn't make any sense why people are so, I don't know, obsessed with remakes. But
because Cowboy Bebop did that, the live action show, which I really liked.
And I never saw the original anime, though.
Yeah,
but I heard it was far better.
It was very close. It was very close to the original, though. Like the first episode was almost verbatim the first episode of the cartoon, if I recall.
Interesting.
But yeah, that was one where they stayed pretty close to the original series, except it was live action. So it sounds like, from what you're describing, is that Last Airbender is doing something similar. And I wonder if that's the precedent Well, there might be other presidents too.
You know, on one hand, it's interesting because it's like, okay, cool. You see something that's animated and you're like, oh, I wish this was live action, you know? Uh-huh. So then they do, right? Well, okay. And then that's a cool thing. But if you don't keep it exactly the same, then people are going to be like, well, it's not as good. And then they get all upset. I'm like, well, because they changed certain things that didn't need to be changed versus, or you do a completely different story. But I think that's the problem, is that if you could do something where it's the same type of feel, even if it's a different adventure, for example, then I don't know. You know, I'm no expert on this. I'm trying to figure out exactly how that would look too, but it is fascinating to me that it's like, everyone's like, yeah, let's do live action. That'd be so cool to see. And then it comes out and everybody's all disappointed. I'm like, okay, how do we fix that? Not that it's my job, well, but anyway.
Oh, before I forget, I want to say one thing about Letterkenny and Shoresy, just really briefly. I just want to mention to everyone listening, it's not a show for children.
Oh yeah, no,
not at all.
Neither is
Reacher. Super adult.
Yeah,
very adult. So just FYI, I thought I should throw that out there for due diligence. But
yeah, but we're going to be seeing another movie coming up here soon. What, May? Come out end of May, I think.
Yes, yeah. And I was in Colorado, on my way through Colorado briefly in February. And I was going to stay for the last 2 weeks of February in Colorado, but that weekend that we were, you know, staying over in Fort Collins for a night, my gut was telling me I had to go home. And this never happened to me before. I'm not a big listen to your gut guy. It's just never been practical with me before. I've never had to, or at least very rarely in my life had to, you know, I have a gut feeling and then go with that and wonder if I went with the right thing or not. I don't know, but I had this gut feeling I needed to go home. And so I did, and everything was fine. Everything's fine. I don't know. I'm not really superstitious. So I don't know if it was just a brain fart or if it was a premonition, who knows? So I'm planning my next trip, which is going to be at the end of May. It was going to be in April, but then I found out that Furiosa, which is the prequel to Mad Max, Fury Road. Mm-hmm. Is coming out over weekend, or sorry, yeah, Memorial Day weekend. So I thought, that would be a great weekend to straddle my next trip, and we could take the whole Sucks clan, our gaming clan, to go see that.
That'd
and
be awesome.
So that's what we're going to do. Yeah. So Furiosa, I can't wait because Anya Taylor-Joy is in it, and she's like my new favorite actress.
Well, and she plays Alia in
Dune. And she plays Alia in Dune, yeah, which is funny because they show her very briefly in Dune 2, like as a premonition, like this is what she's going to look like when she's older. And she's already talking to her mother in the womb. It's all part of the book, but she looks so similar as a Dune character to her character in Furiosa.
That's true.
Furiosa is a post-apocalyptic character. Dune is a desert future character. It's very similar costume design and stuff. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting, but.
Yeah, that's cool. I like her as an actress. I think the first time I saw her was in, wait, what was that? Was that Split? I think.
I don't know about Split. She was in,
she was in Split.
Dang it. We just talked about this a few days ago. What was she in?
Well, I thought it was the Cloverfield, but I'm not sure if that was her or not now, actually.
Oh, okay.
So now I got to look it up because, she was Queen's Gambit too, which I had not seen, but everybody said that was incredible.
Yeah, that's where I first saw of her. I never saw it, but that's where I first saw the actress was in Queen's Gambit.
Oh yeah, so she was in Glass. Okay, so she was in it was Split. It was the Split and Glass movie. So I think I first saw her in Split. I don't think I'm thinking. Yeah. So the Cloverfield one was the girl from. Oh my gosh, she's been in so many different things. Scott Pilgrim and all of that.
Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, Cloverfield Lane. That was a good one to me. The 10 Cloverfield Lane was my favorite.
Yeah.
That was 2016. And that was Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. And that's the one so for some reason I was thinking she was in that, but no, it was Split because it was the same kind of thing where they were both held captive. And anyway, yeah, but that's where I first saw Anya. Yeah. And then her eyes continue to grow apart, but that's just the way it is, man.
She's so, so fascinating to look at. I just can't stop looking at her. Honestly, it's just like, every time I see her, I'm like, it's not creepy or anything. I don't mean it that way. It's just, she has such an interesting face
yeah.
that it fascinates me. It's like mesmerizing almost.
It's so. Exactly the opposite of Allison Pill from Picard, where her eyes are like so close to each other and Anya's are so far apart.
She just bugs the crap out of me.
But see, neither Pill. One of them bug me. It's just fascinating to look at I love looking at the differences of people's faces. Yeah. It's so fascinating to me, but that's one of those things where you're like, I wonder how they see. Or they probably don't know any better, but I just wonder because like she's so close together and the other one's so far apart. Like, is there a difference in vision or is it the same? Well, I don't know. I just like so curious about that.
Anya looks alien to me. Like she looks like a human alien hybrid.
Maybe she is.
I don't know.
We're not alone, man. We're not alone, dude.
Whereas Allison Pill, she looks, I mean, to be fair,
looks,
the Letterkenny reference, she looks kind of porcine, you know, like her eyes are so close together. She looks porcine to me.
Yeah.
And everyone, my eyes are kind of close together. So I kind of look like Allison, to be honest.
But, okay. That's why you don't like her. You're like, I don't look at my face.
I wish my eyes were a little farther apart. Right. And like, what's his name from, Lord of the Rings, Elrond.
Oh yeah. Same thing.
He has eyes that are fairly far apart. And I've always thought he looks so fascinating. What's his name? I don't know. Dang it.
So you put me on the spot. I can't remember.
It's always like right there. I just watched Mortal Engines again, the movie Mortal Engines, because I read the books again.
Oh yeah,
I forgot about that movie. I love the books, and he's one of the main characters in the movie Mortal Engines. Oh, yeah.
I didn't like the movie as much. This is why it would be hard to be on Jeopardy, and why when I watch Jeopardy, I'm like, how did you guys not get that answer? Is because when you're put on the spot, your brain can't always remember.
Yeah,
and then when you're not on the spot, it's like, well, duh, it's so and so, no big deal. I'm like, yeah, that's the problem. So everyone listening,
you only remember when you don't need to.
Yeah, exactly. And we know who it is. I just totally spacing right now.
And we're not about to. We don't typically do our browse the internet while we're recording. Otherwise, we would just look it up right now, right?
Well, we could, but why?
Who cares?
So I wonder if your eyes are farther apart or closer together, does it affect how you viewed the solar eclipse earlier in the week? And here's the other question. For those that were in the path of the solar, the total solar eclipse, was it cloudy? Because I heard there were a lot of clouds that hit that part, and so most people couldn't even view anything. And for us, it was just, you know, it's like, you know, when you're camping and you have an old trailer and everything's on battery and like you've got the lights on, and as the battery starts to go down, the lights just continue to dim and dim and dim. And it's like that. That's kind of what it was to me.
I noticed that it got dimmer outside. I didn't look at it. I was too busy at work to go outside and look at it. And I didn't have the glasses to do it anyway. We were so far from total here, and especially where you were.
Yep.
I was in Colorado the last time it happened a few years ago, and it was really cool. And it was near total there. I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. I just didn't feel the urge to witness it again.
And it was interesting because here we were about half, but it was nowhere near as much as it was, because back in, was 2017. August of 2017 already. Yes. It's been,
oh my gosh,
almost seven years ago.
Crazy. Dude. 3 years before COVID.
Yeah.
And now we're 4 years after it. So dang.
Yeah. So when that happened, it was dark enough that, you know, the lights on auto sensors came on and the crickets started chirping, and it got like noticeably cooler. It was just really interesting. This year, not at all.
Yeah, it got a little dimmer. The coolest thing I thought about the eclipse 5 years, you know, 7 years ago now was how the shadows, like the sun coming through the trees, would make these crescent shadows. That was so neat. I have pictures of it. It was so cool. It never occurred to me that would happen. I mean, I just thought that there was less insulation, less solar light coming in.
Yeah.
And that it would just, the shadows would just be dimmer, you know, it'd just be less contrast. I didn't realize they would have a shape to them, you know, that changed. That was really weird.
Yeah. That still fascinates me today, because that was one of those things that we didn't expect either. And unfortunately, because it's early enough here in Colorado, we don't have leaves yet. And so we couldn't see anything like that. But I got to tell you, it was still really fun. And by the way, in case you're wondering, and yes, we do have brains, Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving. Thank you, Hugo.
Hugo.
I love that guy. He's one of my favorite actors, honestly. Awesome.
Oh yeah.
But obviously even one of my favorite actors does not warrant a permanent place in my neural net. Well, so
you got other things to worry about, like solar eclipses. We haven't done this in so long. I have to do this. I'm going to share a couple of music pieces really quickly. You ready? So do you remember, I played this for you, you probably won't, but Above and Beyond and Zoe Johnston, there was a song called Treasure that I played for you once, and you're like, ooh, I like this one. And you like her voice and everything. Well, they teamed up years ago and then they haven't teamed up since. Finally came back, teamed up again for one song called Crazy Love. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I love this song in so many ways. I can't stop listening to it. I've been listening to it for a couple of months now, and that's very unusual for me. Good. So there you go. Throwing that one in there. Check out Purple Disco Machine. It's new to me and it's kind of cool to see some of the influences and stuff like that. But dude, the music is fun. So I'll throw a song or two. You know, I'm going to create a TRBS 2024 Spotify mix because I haven't done that yet. So we'll do that.
You haven't done that yet? Oh, well,
there's
gosh.
No music. We haven't talked.
I know. For the show, but yeah. You're right. I just take that for granted that you did that. So
I know. And I got my own list that I'm continuing to add to all the time. So follow mine if you haven't done that already, but I'll create something. And then Volo, I'm a fan of Volo. They're kind of more of an instrumental group, but they do a lot of really cool stuff. Kind of like Odessa. They're kind of like that. I don't know how to pronounce this person's name, but I'm going to go with Ayaka. Anyway, it's a song called Winds of Change. Very fascinating. Almost has a tribal feel too. It's very cool. And then Lacey Sturm has a whole full length album now that I'm just so excited about. She is hard rock. I love it. End the Wars is the name. The entire album is amazing, but I'm going to go with End the Wars because it's a cool song. And then Odessa did come out with a song that just kind of mesmerizes, and it's called In the Rain.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
I like Odessa. So
yeah, you're going to love them.
Did I mention last time I was on, and it would have been in studio last time, did I mention my newest musical obsession, which was Drab Majesty? I feel like I might have.
You might have. But what's the song you like?
Well, there's several. But Drab Majesty, Unknown to the Eye is one of my favorite songs. They're basically what's called Dark Wave, which is like...
Okay.
It's like synthesizer, but it's kind of a darker, more emo sound almost. Excel at dark wave. In fact, I think that they could be like the epitome of dark wave music. So if you like chill wave, which is a huge genre right now and has been for some time, with the kids, you know, the kids love
all damn
some
kids,
of the kids
love
like
it.
Chill.
Yeah, dig
it's em. Just basically it's what I used to call neo 80s music several years ago when it first started showing up on my playlist. But Drab Majesty, I cannot stop listening to those guys.
You did put a couple of songs in here from them, but not Unknown to the Eye. So that's good. This will be okay. We got like Cold Souls, A Dialogue, Oxytocin, and Dog Sky. Okay. The one, so
I thought I mentioned it. So but I'm still after these several months, I'm still very much into them. So
that's awesome. Yeah, no, I'll be adding a 24 mix then. TRBS 2024. It's on Spotify. And again, if you're not on Spotify, then just freaking go in and grab these songs or write them down or something and check them out and see what you think and put them in your own mix.
Check them out on YouTube.
YouTube's good too.
Let you play them.
Yeah.
Deep Thoughts with Captain Influence.
The next time someone tells you to go with your gut, use that as an excuse to go and get a blizzard at Dairy Queen.
Well, you know what the music means. I'm going to Dairy Queen. I'm out of here.
How are you now?
How are you now? Not so bad. Good. And you? Good. And you? Not so bad. Anyway.
Every time I drive by Dairy Queen, I think, do I or don't I? And I never do. And
the answer is yes. Go get one because I've got
sometimes you got it.
Brownie batter back. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you in a month. Captain, thank you.
The Real Brian Show is a production of 514
We're
Media.
We're signing off.
514mediaempire.com.
How are you now? Good and you're not so bad.